WNYV, Whitehall, Glens Falls. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Tuesday, March 12th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Democrats in the state Senate are trying to address the state's housing crisis by resurrecting a housing plan from the 1950s and helping people behind on rent.
When people are evicted, it's because they owe back rent. It would pay those arrears and bring the person up to date and prevent them from getting evicted.
Also, Eileen O'Donohue stops by to guide us through what to look for in the morning and evening skies in the next month, including the total solar eclipse.
And we'll head out for a ski to one of the Adirondack Great Camps along Newcomb Lake.
Oh, there's an animal out there. Do you see it on the lake?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Could it be an otter?
All of that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Fisher, Bissett, Muldowney, and McArdle, attorneys and counselors at law, with offices in Malone, Tupper Lake, and Saranac Lake, 800-941-5001. And Adirondack Foundation and the Adirondack Birth to Three Alliance, dedicated to providing all children the best possible start in life, AdirondackBT3.org.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. The New York National Guard is mourning two soldiers from the Albany area who were killed in a helicopter crash by the U.S.-Mexico border last Friday. John Gracia, a New York State trooper and Schenectady resident, died in the crash. Casey Frankowski, the daughter of a former Rensselaer police chief, was also killed. A Border Patrol agent also died in that crash. Another soldier, Jacob Pratt, also of Rensselaer, was seriously injured. Major Jean Marie Kratzer is with the New York National Guard.
With Sergeant Pratt, we are praying for a quick recovery of him. And again, you know, with our senior leadership here, our deepest condolences will go out to the family and friends of those service members that passed and also that U.S. Customs Border and Patrol agent who was also killed.
According to the National Guard, the soldiers were operating as part of Joint Task Force North, a military unit that supports customs and border protection operations. The unit is operating on federal duty status. It's not part of the Texas National Guard's Operation Lone Star.
The top show on Netflix right now is about a former boarding school in Ogdensburg. It's called The Program. It is about the alleged abuse of students at Ivy Ridge, a school that was operational from 2001 until 2009.
They were being treated like prisoners.
I had never done drugs in my entire life, but in order for me to graduate, I had to confess to using heroin, crack, cocaine, LSD.
They dehumanize the kids, that these kids are liars and manipulators. They use that to create compliance.
That's audio from the show's trailer on Netflix. And now a lawmaker from the North Country is calling for the former school to be investigated. Republican Assemblyman Scott Gray wants the state's attorney general to look into the allegations of abuse. In a press release, Gray said the situation portrayed at Ivy Ridge is, quote, very serious and unfortunate. The attorney general had intervened in the school in 2005 after there was a riot at Ivy Ridge. The AG fined the school $250,000 and stopped issuing high school diplomas. Meanwhile, the 230-acre property in Ogdensburg, which housed Ivy Ridge, is now up for sale. It's on the market for $875,000.
Democrats in the state Senate are releasing a comprehensive plan to increase the number of affordable housing units. Karen DeWitt spoke with the Senate's Housing Committee chair, who says the plan revives a mid-20th century affordable housing initiative and provides tax breaks for developers and some tenant protections.
The housing initiative is part of the Senate's One House budget proposal, released 3 weeks before the state spending plan is due. Senator Brian Kavanaugh is Housing Committee Chair.
The Senate is proposing a very broad package of solutions to our statewide housing crisis.
The initiative comes 1 year after Governor Kathy Hochul's comprehensive housing plan failed to win backing in the legislature. The Senate's plan would revive a successful 70-year-old affordable housing building program known as Mitchell Llama. It was named after two lawmakers who helped create it. Under the program, developers were given long-term tax breaks and low mortgage rates to build affordable housing on abandoned properties. But after 20 years, owners of the properties could opt out of the system and in some cases eventually charge market rates. As a result, the original Mitchell Llama units have declined significantly in recent decades. Kavanaugh says the Senate program, dubbed Mitchell Llama 2.0, would be permanent.
One of the defects of many of our proposals, many of our approaches to housing in the past, is that we made them temporary. So when we put those programs in place, we would say there's 30 years of financing and 30 years of affordability, and then that affordability would expire. And so we lose those units.
He says the expiration date, combined with laws passed in 2011 that deregulated rent stabilization programs, have contributed to the current housing affordability crisis. The Senate budget includes $250 million for the program, and it sets aside $50 million to help people who are behind in their rent so that they can stay in their apartments. Kavanaugh says it would expand to the rest of the state a program in New York City that pays back rent for people who are about to be evicted from their homes to give them a chance to start over.
When people are evicted, it's because they owe back rent. It would pay those arrears and bring the person up to date and prevent them from getting evicted.
But he says the proposal stops short of including all of the provisions of legislation known as the Good Cause Eviction Act, a measure long sought by tenants' rights groups. He says Democrats are not backing any specific bill at this time. Finally, the Senate plan includes a revival of a tax break known as 421A, given to developers who include affordable housing in their projects and which expired a few years ago. Kavanaugh says the renewal would be less generous to developers than previous iterations, and he says the idea is similar to one proposed by Governor Hochul. Hochul's unsuccessful 2023 housing plan included, among other things, a provision to override local zoning laws to build more housing. The Senate plan does not include that. Hochul eventually removed her housing plan from the state budget, saying she would try to create more housing using executive orders instead. Senate Democrats hope they have more luck in 2024 with their plan. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Jupiter is blazing in Aries and Mercury is on its way back. We'll check out what to look for in the morning and evening skies with astronomer Eileen O'Donohue coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Potsdam cellist Beth Robinson. Sunny skies. The Weather Service says highs today in the 40s, near 50, and light winds out of the west. Northern Light is supported by Long Run Wealth, an SEC-registered investment advisor in Lake Placid, providing comprehensive wealth management, retirement, and financial planning solutions. LongRunWealth.com.
County is celebrating the 211th anniversary of its founding today, and local historians want residents to document the day. The Warren County Historical Society says it's part of a new tradition that will serve as a time capsule for future generations. Staff are asking residents to take photos as they go about their days, whether it's at events, work, or home. They ask residents to email the photos along with captions. Then Historical Society staff will select the best photos and create a visual narrative to represent the day. They'll also post the photos and stories on social media. The Warren County Historical Society says they plan to make this an annual tradition to show how the community changes.
Glens Falls is hosting the high school boys state basketball tournament this week, and its team has made the semifinals. It's the third year in a row that the city has been home to the statewide basketball competition. The Cool Insuring Arena in downtown Glens Falls will host the tournament, which begins Thursday. According to the Regional Visitors Bureau, more than 1,000 student athletes are expected to compete in the 18-game tournament. The boys team from Glens Falls will tip off in the Section A semifinals on Friday morning.
Clarkson University's Nordic skiing team claimed a national title over the weekend. The men's team narrowly beat Paul Smith's College and the U.S. Collegiate Ski and Snowboard Association championships in Lake Placid. The women's team finished ninth in a 14-team field. It's the school's first Nordic skiing national title since Clarkson's women's in 2019 and the first for the men since 2012.
For a few weekends each winter, you can ski into a great camp in the Adirondacks. At the end of the ski, you can warm up by the fire with some hot cocoa. Great Camp Santinoni in Newcomb hosts its winter weekends for Saturday and Sunday in January, February, and March. Reporter Emily Russell and digital producer Caitlin Kelly skied into the camp earlier in February and sent this postcard.
So it's a glorious winter day. I'm here with Caitlin Kelly, and we're skiing out to Great Camp Santinoni. So just, like, describe the day, like, the conditions, what they're like.
Well, what started out as a pretty heavy snowstorm in Lake Placid turned to blue sky in Newcomb, and it's sunny, and there's a coating of fresh snow on the road, and it's the perfect ski conditions out here today.
It's a five-mile ski into Santinoni. With every turn of the trail, we get new glimpses of the mountains through the trees. It's truly the perfect day for a ski.
So this trail kind of undulates, goes up and down a little bit, never too steep, which is really nice. We're up on a little bit of a hill.
Caitlin lived near here a few summers ago. She spent a lot of time hiking and biking this trail in the warmer months, but skiing here is a first for both of us.
Yeah, this view is so different than in the summertime because there are no leaves and we can really see down into the forest, and we see these beautiful mountains and a white spot kind of down this hill. So I decided to pull out my map, and lo and behold, we're looking at Newcomb Lake, which is where the Great Camp is on, the lake the Great Camp is on. And so that means we're getting pretty close, and we're skiing down this hill, which is very fun.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
We let gravity pull us through the fresh powder, gliding down the hill and out onto a bridge over some open water.
So we're standing on a new bridge.
Yeah, we're standing on a bridge. Let's go out a little more on here. We can see the rest of Newcomb Lake, what we were looking down upon on the road.
Oh, there's an animal out there. Do you see it on the lake?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe an otter? Or marten? Ermine? It looks dark, though. Ermines are white this time of year. That was amazing. Little animal.
We ski just a little farther up the trail, winding around one more bend, and then we see it. Great Camp Santinoni.
It's so beautiful. And there's all these skis lined up along a fence and some signs towards some winter delights. And this great camp is so beautiful.
So beautiful.
And it's just this dark stained wood with this red trim on the windows. And it's 5 miles in to the wilderness and it's still standing here.
We unclip our skis and walk down a narrow path. Near the edge of the lake sits a much smaller, cozier cabin.
Wow.
There's about a dozen people inside. Most folks are sitting around the wood stove. A few of the camp's staff are boiling hot water for coffee and cocoa.
Do you want a hot beverage?
There are a couple binders floating around. They're full of photos from more than a century ago. Women in long dresses posing on the porch, people piling into guide boats along the shore.
The main camp up the hill was built in 1892-1893 by Robert and Anna Prine out of Albany.
That's Jennifer Bettsworth. She's the Santinone interpretive coordinator and hosts these winter weekends at the camp.
This building where we have the wood stove and everybody likes to hang out is the artist studio, which was built in 1905 for their eldest son, Edward, or Ned. And you can see in some parts of the room where he cleaned off his paint knife and how he actively used this as a space. But for us these days, it makes an excellent little warming hut with great light and a place to boil hot water and give people hot chocolate.
Yeah. So cozy in here.
Caitlin and I soak up these cozy vibes, sipping on our hot cocoa and filling up on snacks. Before too long, it's time to head out into the cold and make the 5 mile ski back. With Caitlin Kelly, I'm Emily Russell at Great Camp Santinone in Newcomb for North Country Public Radio.
The last winter weekend is this Saturday and Sunday at the Great Camp Santinone. You can find photos of Emily and Caitlin ski at our website, ncpr.org.
You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up in just a minute, astronomer Eileen O'Donohue joins us to guide us through the morning and evening skies. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note, coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Yeah, I can see blue sky and a few clouds here in Canton. But no, seriously, the Weather Service says sunshine by this afternoon across the region, highs 40s near 50, winds light out of the west, maybe a scattered shower tomorrow, partly cloudy on Thursday, but mild temperatures, highs in the 50s tomorrow, and highs upper 40s, low 50s again on Thursday and Friday. Right now, sunshine, 30 degrees here in Canton. But as a morning commuter, I was suddenly plunged back into darkness.
Yes, this week.
Don't remind me.
Yes, goodness. But it really is the thing that makes the most sense.
Okay.
To switch the clocks. We have three choices. If we stay on standard time, we can have the sun rising at 4:13 in the morning. In the summer.
Does it sound too bad, right?
Not bad at all.
Not bad for us. Yeah. But if we stay on daylight time, which the Senate voted to do, and which we did in 1974 and hated, then the winter sun doesn't come up till 8:36.
Okay.
So the compromise is to switch the clocks.
Okay.
And, you know, because we're governed by the clocks. We're not, you know, an agrarian society governed by the sun anymore. But my God, there's so much light now.
Sunset is so much later.
Yeah. Well, the time switch plus, you know, we're losing over 3 minutes of dark per day. And we're going to be losing that until April 12th. So you people who like the light and the light evenings, you just need to just enjoy this time because you are gaining a lot of light.
Three minutes a day.
Yeah. Very rapidly. Yes, and there's stuff to look at. Of course, we've still got Jupiter.
In the evening skies. Yes.
And now Jupiter is about 6 degrees west of Uranus, however you want to say
Uranus.
And so if you get your binoculars out and look at Jupiter and put it kind of in the bottom of the bottom of your field of view.
Yeah,
yeah, just binoculars, your field of view. Then you should be able to see Uranus. Yes, and so Todd has an image up from the Planetary Society showing the crescent moon between them.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Is that going to happen, or what does that say?
That says that's the evening of March 13th.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow night if it's clear, and it might be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's worth looking. It's worth getting your binoculars out and looking for that. And also, during the eclipse, you will be able to have Jupiter and Uranus in the same field of view. During totality, you can use your binoculars. Not before, not after, but during totality.
During 3 minutes.
For that 3 minutes, yes.
You can see Jupiter and Uranus?
You'll be able to see all the planets and some stars. I mean, the sky gets dark. And, yes, you will see stars, and not because somebody clobbered you in the head, but because the sun is blocked. It's going to be so fantastic. And it's this pencil line across the globe, and we happen to be in it. And it's just very exciting, and I'm talking about it all over the place. I'll be at JCC at 12:30 today. I'll be at Indian River High School next Tuesday evening at 6:30. Email me. I'm happy to talk about the eclipse. And,
we do want to encourage listeners to send in their questions to news@ncpr.org. We'll invite Eileen back on before the eclipse to have all of our questions answered. So never fear.
We've got
plenty of them.
Yes.
Most of our questions.
And in the meantime, Mercury is popping up again. And this time of year is great because something popping up on the western horizon, it comes like almost straight up off the horizon. In the fall, it goes at a steep angle. So even though Mercury is far from the sun, it's hard to see Mercury above the horizon. But this time, Mercury will be highest above the horizon and easiest to spot on March 24th. In the evening sky,
right.
In the morning, Venus, Mars, Saturn, they're pretty low. In the sky. So they're hard to see. You're lost in the glare. But Jupiter and Mercury popping up and Uranus. Uranus is actually a naked eye planet. You can see it without binoculars or telescope, but you need to know exactly where it is.
Right.
I mean, I've seen it, but it's like you look at it with binoculars, move the binoculars down, it's like, yeah, I think I can see it. It is barely visible.
And is that the furthest visual eye planet?
Yeah.
You can't see Neptune, right?
No. You need optical aid. So,
and also in the evening sky, our good friend Leo.
Leo is up and beautiful and looking like the Sphinx. And we don't get Leo for very long because Leo rises as the evenings are getting longer. So Leo gets lost in the glare pretty quickly. And enjoy Leo in these spring evenings. And, yeah, speaking of spring, it will be Gregorian spring, all right, at the equinox. Let's see, at 11:06 p.m. on the 19th.
Next Tuesday,
all right. You'll hear people saying it's the spring is on the 20th, but that's if you're in Europe.
Uh-huh.
All right. So for us, it's 11:06 p.m. on the 19th, and that's when the sun will cross the celestial equator, and it'll come into the northern sky.
Mm-hmm. I was sleeping through that, but 11:06. But
yes,
still,
I'll sleep through it too.
But happy spring on the evening of the 19th.
Yeah. So you know, the Gregorian calendar will finally catch up to the Celtic calendar, who's thought it's spring since February 2nd.
Yes,
February 1st this year.
Now, I do have a couple of questions about the eclipse. There are a couple terms that you end up reading about quite a bit, like Bailey's beads. What are those?
These are right as the last limb of the sun is getting covered by the moon. The moon is not a billiard ball. The moon is a world, and it has mountains and valleys. And the sun can shine through the valleys. And when you see that thin limb of the sun, just like at sunset, and you can get the different colors. So you get these different colors, and you get these bright spots right along the edge of the moon, where the sun is shining through the valleys. And so they're colorful and they're very pretty.
Wow.
So, yes, Bailey's beads and the diamond ring. The diamond ring is kind of Bailey's beads on steroids.
Okay.
And then when it gets thinner, you just see the sun shining through valleys on the moon.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. We had heard from a listener, Andy Sager, in the Plattsburgh area, because he had sent in some audio to us, because when he was a kiddo, like in high school, he and his dad like drove down to like North Carolina to see the solar eclipse with their physics teacher and friends and everything, and they'd recorded it, you know. So we had heard all about, they were big into the shadow bands at the time too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and the shadow bands are that when you have this thin shaft of sunlight, that the turbulence in the air creates these shadow bands. Everybody's looked at the bottom of the pond or the bottom of the pool on a sunny day, and you know those geometric shapes you see on the bottom?
Yeah.
Well, those get formed by the turbulence in the water. In some places, it's a little warmer, a little lower density, and a little cooler and a little higher density. And so they create these shadow bands on the bottom of the pool. And those are always here on Earth, too, because we stand at the bottom of an ocean of air. But the sun is such a large extent that they're all overlapping, so we can't tell they're there. But when you get down to that thin shaft of sunlight, then we can see those shadow bands and see that we're standing on the bottom of an ocean of air.
Hmm.
And so they're just like the patterns on the pool.
Wow.
The bottom of the pool.
And I was looking for photos of them, but they're kind of hard to come by.
They are. There are a few on the internet, but they're very, you know, they move very quickly and they're very faint.
Mm.
You can find a few of them. So as we're going toward totality, have something white on the ground that will help, or a white wall or a white building you can look at. And that will, you might be able to see
those
right
little
before totality.
Oh, okay.
And just after it ends, as it's ending. So there are all these wonderful effects, and I keep encouraging everyone to leave your phone in your pocket.
Right.
Don't, you know, the Adirondack Sky Center and Observatory is hosting a bunch of photographers. There are going to be great photos.
They're going to be better photos than yours from probably your smart device, I suspect.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, it's like I tried to take a picture of the crescent moon the other day. I got a bright spot in the middle of a
fuzz
dark
spot.
Yeah. You know, your phone is just, and the kids.
Yeah.
Get the kids to not spend the whole time looking at their phone. Yeah. Look at the sky. Look for Bailey's beads. Look for the shadow bands. Look at the corona. This is the hottest part of the sun's atmosphere. It's 1,000,000 degrees.
Yeah.
And because the sun is a nuclear explosion contained by gravity. And so it's really blowing stuff off itself. And we get to see that.
I just want to remind listeners of two things. Number one, we had a listener email us wondering where she could find glasses, eclipse glasses. The library system in the North Country is distributing free pairs of eclipse glasses. So check your local library. If they're out of stock, maybe they can get some more before the eclipse. Do that. And also, we have a spot on our website, an eclipse information spot at ncpr.org. Click on that. We have FAQs and lots of news.
And also, the St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce has an eclipse website that is fantastic. They have all that information. They have suggestions for where to watch the eclipse. Go to the St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce. They've been working really hard to get that information out. So lots of information.
You're going to be at Jefferson Community College, 12:30 today.
12:30 today and
open
Indian
to the public.
River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next
and
Tuesday.
You'll be back here before the eclipse to answer questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Eileen, thank you so much.
It's
always
fun.
Great.
That's it for Northern Light on this Tuesday, the 12th of March. There's more Morning Edition coming up.
Then join us this afternoon on Here and Now. Special Counsel Robert Hur testifies before Congress about his investigation in President Biden's handling of classified documents. They'll cover that news this afternoon and much more between 1 and 3 o'clock right here on North Country Public Radio.
Thanks for listening. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Be well.